Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing? It's Trina Mara. It's very weird when you interview someone that you know. Muireann O'Connell is with us, and we all know Muireann from Virgin Media Telly in Ireland AM. Hi, Muireann.
Hello, Trina. I think it's weird, though, because we used to sit beside each other in an office.
I used to leave. I kind of had a desk chair. We shared the computer. So I would leave and then you would come in and take over on my computer. So I apologise for all the... I'm very bad at keeping a desktop clean. I apologise for all the, you know, the photos and the various things on the desktop.
Things I've seen, everyone. The things I've seen on the girl's desktop.
Stop
madness.
It.
Madness.
Stop it. I could go down that road with you as well, Muireann, but we won't. So 100 years ago, myself and Muireann worked together. And I was just saying, like, you used to work in the evening time and you were a producer.
Mm.
You were on the air as well, but you were a producer coming up with all these great ideas, which I guess really stands to you then when you're a presenter on the telly as well, because you also have the ideas. But how was the transition for you going from kind of working, being a bit of a night owl? Because I would consider you a bit of a night owl, to then getting up the crack of dawn. Was that difficult?
Yeah. It was definitely a change in lifestyle. I think when my lovely bosses gave me the job, they were genuinely worried. I think they said it to me about a month later going, we were very worried that, you know, you would sleep in numerous times this first month. And they were like, thank God. I think there was bets going on with each other going, when is her first day that she's ever going to be late?
Yeah.
And I think in the 2.5 years, I've only been late once. And my alarm didn't go, I didn't set my alarm. I woke up at 17 minutes past six and I was on the air by 7 a.m. I was ready to go. I was like,
wow.
I got in.
Wow.
And got the makeup done. But it's only happened once, and that was very much, that was a squeaky bum time that morning. That was my Usain Bolt moment.
I can actually beat that one, Muireann, because I got a call once, right, and something had happened. The breakfast show, so one of the people was off, one of the hosts was off on annual leave or something, and the other one, some emergency happened and they couldn't make it in, and the producer wasn't even the regular producer, it was somebody else standing in who hadn't done it before. And I got a call at 5:45 in the morning when I was in my bed, snoozing away. Oh my God, can you come in and present the breakfast show, right? From this girl who hadn't produced before. And somehow I managed to take that information in, half asleep, don't know what I dressed in, got in and was on the air on time for 6 o'clock. And she said she couldn't believe her eyes when I walked through the door, because when she made the phone call, she wasn't sure if the information had got in or not. So I win. 15 minutes. Asleep.
That's the sort of thing that the bosses on a Friday have to go, okay, an employee of the week is. Come on, that's some. And it's the thing you'll always remember. You're like, once I made it 15 minutes. Well done.
So it was a transition. Because did you have quite the, this sounds awful, but you must have had a great social life at night time, and now that's probably gone in a way.
Yeah, it is. It's completely and utterly gone. Again, I'm in a very lucky position. You know, I don't have to get up to newborns and babies and get home and get kids to school and get lunches done. So I don't have that sort of situation. So it's just been a change in lifestyle and going, right, you're not going out during the week anymore. Telly is my my boldness now, because once I'm watching something, I never want to go to bed. But that's as wild as it gets in this house.
Crazy. Well, if you want to lend a child any afternoon, there's no problem at all. I can lend you one, no bother. Have you finally reached that point then, Muireann, where people can pronounce and spell your name correctly?
No, it's fine. It's whatever. It's as long as it's not a curse word at me, I am absolutely fine with it. But I've come up with a way of kind of, obviously, with my name, I love the real Gaeilge W, the Muireann, is what it is meant to be, sort of, that sort of a thing. But I am fine with kind of, I've finally gone gold, frankincense, and they'll go, Mur, and then I go, and then put an in on it. And then that, for no matter where you are in the world, or, you know, your nationality, your culture, people can all say that. So I've got to sort it.
You're not a Gaeilgeour, though, sure you're not.
No, gee, not at all. I'm a fallstuck at it. But it's kind of a family name. So a lot of, like, the cousins in Kerry would have this name. Sure, it's my mother. She won't even spell the name right herself now. I'm not in her name. I'm not in her phone with my actual proper name, because it's too long. But she's the woman who chose the blooming name. But anyway.
Speaking of your mother, she has appeared on your Instagram. And I just wondered, is she now famous in Limerick, where you're from? Because, I mean, it's very, some of the videos you put up, I feel like I talk to you a lot because of Instagram. sending her in to buy the magazine that you're on the cover of, because you were mortified to buy it yourself.
Mortified. You can't go in and buy your own magazine and then you walk into a shop.
going about 10 copies of the magazine. Really?
And there's about 75 of them there, and you're like, oh my God, everyone hates me. So I had sent her in to buy the old mag, as she has gotten in Limerick City. We were in Limerick City a couple of weeks ago getting her new glasses, and she got stopped, and she gets stopped in the Crescent Shopping Centre all the time. Saying, how are you, Mary? And she's like, how do you? She keeps on thinking that she's forgotten something. She's like, am I losing my mind? And they know her from the Instagram. So that's it. That's it. She's fine. Loves it. She never knows when she's on it. So yeah. She's like, was I on Instagram? I'm like, yeah.
I think there could be a market there. Get your mom on and she could be an influencer.
Yeah, I know. But I've got her blocked on Instagram myself so she can never see herself. Yeah.
Now, I want to talk to you about the house hunting struggle because like so many people, I'm sure you've seen it all, haven't you? You're still on the hunt.
Yeah, like in a very lucky position, I would say. You know, got a roof over my head, lovely landlord, great situation. Just haven't been lucky enough to find that house. I suppose we've been out looking for quite a while now and it's definitely an experience. You start seeing the same people at the same houses. You're like, how are you? How are you getting on? The other day, we met a lovely, really lovely auctioneer and she was like, geez, lads, here you are. Sure, I've had a baby since the last time I saw you. We're like, go away. So you kind of see the same people over and over again. So it just shows you how many people are in the same boat. I suppose we're a little older trying to buy the first house, but that's just the way it worked. That's just the way it's happened. But again, it's just really hard for an awful lot of, it's really hard for an awful lot of people. But again, we're in a lucky situation.
Yeah. Because didn't you witness a woman crying coming out of a house viewing?
Yeah, that was one day. It was really tough because there's an awful lot of people who they're being kicked out of their rented accommodation and they really are at, you know, the last gasp. They need to find something. And of course, trying to find something that's near their kids' school, you know, when you set up a whole life together.
There's so much
so
to
you
consider,
can see some people who are incredibly desperate and, you know, trying to corner the estate agent. I'm sure the poor estate agent is there going, sure, lads, I don't know, it's going to the highest bidder. Like, you can't blame someone for trying to make as much as they can out of this asset that's in short supply, you know, it's just simple economics. This,
you hear these stories about, oh, I wrote a letter to the homeowner and I popped it in the letterbox and I explained who I am and, you know, whatever, how I can see myself living here forever and I've, you know, young family or whatever. And they kind of hope to pull on the heartstrings. I wonder, does that work? Has that ever worked for anybody?
I'm going to be honest now. I was talking to someone and who was selling their house. They were like, listen, letter's all well and good, but I'm taking 20 grand.
What well to do? Bill, was it?
do you know what I mean? So I do know someone who did get a house recently and she wrote a letter, but that was because they were like, they were at the end of bidding. So there was two people who had bid the same. Right. And then the estate agent said, listen, they want a letter. So that's what happened. And that's how they decided. Mm. It's very, like, Simon Cowell could get involved in this, you know, Ireland's Next Top Letter.
Wow.
It's, you know, the X letter
this
to get you
a
house.
This is a new format for Virgin Media. Great.
Like real Armageddon stuff going on here. Vote which letter's the best to get you a house. It's incredibly cruel out there. It's really hard for an awful lot of people, you know.
The quality of the stuff you're seeing, I mean, are there still carpets in bathrooms and avocado suites or are they long gone?
Oh, sure, there's everything. Everything you could possibly want to see in the entire world, because I suppose you're going into some houses and, you know, unfortunately the owner has passed away. And that house has been, like, you might go into houses that haven't been touched in the 1970s. And it's real fascinating, but you can really get a sense of a life that's been lived there.
Yeah.
And I'm a complete and utter softy. Like, I can get very bad in certain places. I cry at the tip of the hat. And, you know, I saw one day one woman, someone's house anyway, and there was a picture of her there. And sure, I started crying.
Ah, Moiran. Did you?
I did, yeah. I was like, oh God, that poor woman is gone. And sure, then you're on RIP trying to look her up and see if she's all right. But,
it's a very emotional thing.
Yeah, it's a very emotional thing going into someone's house, you know?
Yeah. And the meanwhile, the estate agent is probably trying to tell you how, like, you know, the carpet in the bathroom and the avocado suite, they're trying to tell you, this is a blank canvas. Think of the potential.
But it doesn't matter anymore. There could be a hole, Trina, there could be a hole in the middle of the sitting room and people would rip your eyes out first.
Yeah,
like
they
that's
pay 100
how the
grand
situation
over
is.
The asking for it, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Because
yeah.
a friend of mine
really
is desperately looking as well. And I was sending her, you know, the way you kind of get obsessed with other people's search as well. And you start sending them all the links from my home and Daft and all the rest. And you're like, what about this? What about that? And she goes, that's all well and good, but that's not going to be the price. The price is going to be at least 100 grand more than that. They're only saying that to get you in.
Oh, yeah. But it can't, like, some people can be really surprised. Like, you know, you can look at the property price register from a few months ago where, you know, it was priced correctly, but it's just flown up since then. So, so it's just,
I think you need to do a show on this. Just saying. Now you've no time, but just saying.
Just saying, come with me as I cry in various people's houses looking at pictures. Perfect. And Dermot Bannon will be there as well. It'll be great. Oh, yeah.
So if you ever get this house, I need to ask you about the wardrobe space that you're going to require, because just from looking on your social media, I have to ask, how big is your current wardrobe? You're always putting on these mini fashion shows. And I think that there must be like, you're going into the house next door or something with all the clothes.
They're not mine.
Are they not?
Like, this is old school TV stuff. You know, you take a lend of clothes and then you send them back.
This is genius.
That's how it works. You just borrow something. So like when you're reading a magazine or you're looking at something online, they're just borrowed clothes from people if they're doing a fashion shoot. Oh God, no, I don't. There is no space in this house for anything like that. I do have a work wardrobe.
Yeah.
So that's at work, thank God. So I've got that out in Virgin Media. Yeah. And I leave all my bits and my bobs there, my shoes for work. But I'm just in either tracksuits, jeans and runners.
I love
like
this.
That's what
everybody
I wear.
Everybody thinks that Muireann is really well dressed all the time. This is what she's telling us, that it's all borrowed. Because I get,
all borrowed.
She can't be wearing the same thing all the time. I live in the same outfit all the time in work. But that's grand because I'm doing the radio. But if you're on the telly, you have to have a different look all the time.
You do and you don't. Like I years ago, I started being like, no, like I rewear all of my clothes. If I have bought it and it's for the telly, there's clothes I've been wearing for 6 years on the telly. Like, I think it's crazy to be buying something and wearing it once. Not a bit of it.
Yeah.
So if it's mine, I will absolutely do that. But if someone says, hey, do you want a loan of this? Yes. It's like being back in your teenage wardrobe when you were swapping clothes with your friends, going, can I have a go of your new jumper? So that's what it is. But there is not a big wardrobe at all.
Okay. Speaking of which, your teens and clothes, I was thinking the other day about the clothes shops that used to exist and they're no longer around, because I feel like there's nowhere to go shopping anymore. Unless you buy online, there's not really many clothes shops.
Mm.
What is the clothes shop that you remember when you were growing up that you would have bought in that might not exist even anymore?
Oh my God, there's so many. Mm. So like, I suppose there was one, like when I was a grunger, it was Modesty Clothing in Limerick. That's where you get all your grunge clothes and your docks and everything like that. But can you remember Japan?
Japan, yeah. I think you could buy a whole outfit for about a tenner.
100%. So Japan and No Name, where you get hipsters, you'd get a V-neck, fake wool top, and there'd be the hipster flares. I shopped in Japan so much and then graduated to like A-wear.
Oh, A-wear, yeah.
I still have an A-wear dress.
They're gone about 20 years, Muireann. How do you still have that?
I still have an A-wear dress. It was like this Peter O'Brien dress they did, a kind of a fake Roland Murray that they did in A-wear years ago. And I've kept it. I love it.
Good for you for fitting into it still.
Well, I don't think I can fit into it. It's in my mother's house, like, you know, I don't have a whippy. It's just kind of look at my A-wear thing.
Are you one of these adults, Muireann, who has left all your stuff still in your mother's house?
Oh, yes. And like my Christmas decorations are in my mother's house. I go home like 3 times a year, things are brought up. So I'll get me spring clothes now soon and bring down my winter clothes all in my mother's house. My sister, she's on her second or third, like she's moved 2 or 3 times. She's got her own house. Still everything in my parents' house. My father always threatened. She was just like, I'm throwing it all out because all of our stuff is in our parents' house.
You never really fully move
Trina,
out.
Trina, we need storage spaces.
I know. I
mean, we've got the boot of our car and then we've got our parents' house.
You were slagging me off now when I rang you there saying, oh my God, you've interviewed everybody, you know, in the whole world. You have as well, right? So I need to ask you this question because it's one I get all the time. Have you ever interviewed a celeb, Muireann, who wasn't so nice to you? So I'm looking for your best and your worst interview.
I don't think so. Like, I don't really interview celebrities. Like, myself and Tommy on Ireland AM one day, we were interviewing Jared Leto, I think it was. He did this really weird, this some sort of a goodbye thing. And Tommy just kind of burst out laughing, being like, what's just after happening there? I suppose he didn't want to answer the questions about how to go. So he had just these really elaborate answers. And we were like, what the hell is going on here? Because Tommy kind of had never, didn't really do, it was like we were just starting to do do junkets at that stage.
Yeah.
And so we were like, what is going on here? But no, honestly, I can't remember. I don't really do them. Like I don't really do that many celebrity interviews. It would be, you know, Irish or English people, some Americans, authors, like they'd be really famous, but they're all sound. So who's like the weirdest one for you? What have they done?
I mean, there's been a few over the years, but one that kind of stands out for me is Hugh Grant, because he texted on his phone for my entire interview.
No. No.
He did. And I just felt like, sorry, am I in the way here?
Should was he answering questions?
He was kind of, yeah, he was answering, but he wasn't looking at me. He was looking down at his phone and he was texting away and he plugging in his charger and he was, yeah, it was.
Was he being told that he was having another child? He's got so many at this stage. What,
like,
what was...
I think it might have been something around that time. So I'm thinking that he might have been getting texts from a potential mother or something. So it could be. But it could very well be.
Did he say he wanted to go into politics there the other day? So maybe he's just multitasking. Maybe he's like, I can do so many things at once. I'm going to be the best politician in the entire world. I'm fascinated by his interview.
Looking back now, I think I should have just asked him, sorry, Hugh. Like, and I probably would change the way I do it now. I'd say, sorry, Hugh. Who are you texting? I'd be cheeky enough to ask him that now.
Yeah. But it's in the moment. Mm. Like, you never know. Like, we're live on the telly and afterwards, you're kind of sitting there and you kind of chat going, oh God, what could we have done there? What could we have done better? And I get very caught up in the moment and I start thinking, oh God, I did really bad in that. Whereas Tommy would be like, no, it's grand. Come on, move on. We're going on to the next thing because you only have a few minutes between everything.
Yeah.
Because I suppose Ireland AM is kind of so fast paced and the gang in Virgin Media, they're just fab. You know, they're kind of like, no, come on, because you're doing so many items a day. That's why I probably just don't remember any of them, Trina, to be honest. Yeah. It's kind of chatting to people that you remember more, like real people stories that kind
so
of stick
well.
In your head.
Yeah, definitely they do. Yeah. They do. And they're more interesting actually than a lot of celebrities who are just plugging the latest movie or whatever.
Well, they kind of just have to do, you know, it's their job.
Yeah, it's conveyor belt and stuff almost.
Yeah, yeah. And they're like, ah, oh, sure, listen, there's the movie. Here we go. That's grand. But it's fun. It's a nice job to be doing.
Yeah, there's been loads of funny moments on the telly over the years since you've been doing the telly. And actually, I have to ask you, was telly a thing that you wanted to do years ago? Because you popped up on the telly and you were brilliant at it.
Oh God, I wouldn't say that at all. Not according to my harshest critic, my mother. No, it wasn't. There was never any sort of a plan. I've just kind of ended up here. I suppose when I did start working on the telly and opportunities were coming up and I was hosting, I got really into it. It's strange when people ask you, you know, what's your hobby? And my hobby is watching television. Like, it's as simple as that. So I've gotten to, you know, for all the people you talk to who'd be like, oh my God, my hobby was football. I've turned it into my career. I've kind of done that. Like I've been a telly addict my entire life. So it's great that it's my job. I love it.
Well, there's been loads of funny moments over the years. So is there any ones that stand out for you where you just couldn't breathe on the telly?
Well, Alan Hughes coming up behind us, scaring the bejesus out of us on TV so much so that we scream and manage to not curse is one that definitely sticks out in my mind. I believe that I ended up palpitating on the floor. Like, I just had to have a lie down on the floor. We were in the middle of an interview. And that was it. Like, there was nothing. We had to go to an ad break because it was, I think we were talking to Yvette Fielding about ghost hunting. And he came up behind us. I was like, what the hell? Like, watching the two of them, you know, talk about sausages whilst making coddle and the innuendos that come out of their mouth.
I saw that the other day. Yeah, it was so funny. Tommy's very quick, isn't he?
He's very quick. He knows exactly what he's doing to that fella. And the two of them will just rile each other up. And I'm like, what are they actually going to do today? And then an awful lot of the time, we're just trying not to corpse. Because, like, Alan could be doing anything behind the cameras. And the crew, like, our camera people are absolutely brilliant. You know, they can be up to anything. So it's just a joy of a set, to be honest.
Yeah.
We just have really, really good fun.
Any moments where it goes disastrously wrong, maybe your auto cue goes down or just nothing works and you're like, oh good God, what do we do here?
Oh God, it goes wrong every single day. Like, Tommy is the creator of 10 siblings, for God's sake. It's how do you beat something as iconic as that? We have not been standing in the right place. We've done an entire AI show where we didn't know what was going to happen. I believe that my skirt has completely and utterly split. So is that I'm just kind of holding on for dear life. So is that nothing comes off and you just kind of do your job and then afterwards someone has to bring you a towel and you've got to kind of fix it in whatever way you can. So it happens every single day on live television. Alan Hughes covered me in avocado. Like he just started chucking avocado, mashed up avocado at me in the middle of the show, wearing something that wasn't mine. Actually, they're the issues that happen. So I was like, I've got to give it back.
It's really been taken up a notch, hasn't it, that show in the last couple of years. It's great crack now. Tell me about Virgin Media's new streaming TV offering. What is this all about?
Well, you know the way you have to talk to people and they've got to plug their thing. The plug is this Virgin Media have a brand new streaming set-top box, Trina.
So tell me more.
Oh, I am so in. Do you mind if I text while I speak to you? Is that okay? If
off
I can
you
just
go.
Text as yep. I speak to you
Grant.
And I'll yep. do it in a Hugh Grant voice. This is their brand new set-top box whereby you've got everything like you have in your terrestrial linear TV, but also all of your streaming services. So say you have Netflix. And everything is there on your desktop. It just plugs into the back of the TV. So all of those wires are absolutely gone. I'm not into technology, but my fabulous housemate is. And when he saw it, he actually got quite excited by it. So everything is there. Voice control. It's so handy and it's absolutely gorgeous to look at. And you can take it with you around the house and bye-bye wires.
And when you just get that through Virgin Media, yeah?
Yes, Virgin Media. Yeah, your subscription. It's all there and good to go. That is my plug. You are as good as gold. And I got four messages sent during that.
Lovely. Mirren, great catching up. And we will hopefully not leave in another how many years till we speak again.
Many years. I've still got your desktop saved anyway.
She's all the evidence. Thanks, Mirren. I'll talk to you soon. It's Ireland's Classic Hits Radio.